Welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Welcome. There is so much stuff that I want to talk about. There is so many movie news that were announced today or yesterday. There's talks about Moon Knight being put into production at Marvel. Maybe not. I don't know, but that's exciting for me. There's talk about a Nova movie. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. There's talk about a Black movie, the Black Mass Studios book, which has me very excited. I know that speculators are buying everything on eBay right now. There's tons of movie news, but that's not what I wanted to talk about today. What I wanted to talk about today was something a little tangential to the movie news. And this has to do with one of my first comic loves, Valiant Comics. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about Valiant Comics today is because finally, at long last, the Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe web series finally premiered on comicbook.com, and that's fine. I've been waiting for this series for years. It's been in production for years. I think originally it was supposed to come out sometime early last year, and then actually it was the year before. Then it got pushed back, and then it was coming out last year, and then something happened, presumably something with Sony, and that got pushed back. And now finally, as of April 21st, the web series is out. So by the time of this recording, there's 3 episodes out. I believe there are 4 more. So throughout the rest of the week, we'll be getting the rest of the series. And it's been interesting to watch. I'm no longer part of Facebook, so I don't belong to any Valiant groups there. I haven't been to Valiant fans in quite a while today, so I didn't really know what the reaction was. The only reactions that I saw were from people commenting on Twitter, or of course my circle of friends. So I wanted to give some first impressions about it. I'm not going to talk in depth about this because the TV series or the web series is not done yet. Like I said, there's 4 more episodes, and they're each about, I don't know, about 12 minutes long, roughly. So altogether, it's going to be a little over an hour of running time for the Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe web series. And of course, if you've been reading the comic, Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe, then you pretty much get an idea of what the plot is about. So if you haven't read it, you might be okay because the last issue spoils the web series. But if you paid attention and you're a Valiant fan, you might already know what the outcome is from the first episode. Now, I've been a Valiant fan for 25 years, since 93. X-Men Man of War number 0 was my first Valiant comic. Of course, I love Valiant comics. Paul and I did the Valiant Central podcast for many years. We just finished that. I used to run the Valiant database where I tracked every single variant cover for Valiant comics. I was very involved in all the Valiant communities on the internet. And over time, I've kind of become disillusioned with things. Reasons are not important really right now. There's been some news, of course, about the acquisition by DMG, some people leaving, in particular Dinesh, who founded the company and who has been a Valiant fan since he was in his teens. Matter of fact, I remember seeing a picture of Dinesh. I want to say it was like his 12th or 13th birthday, and he had a Valiant birthday cake. And it must be really gratifying for him to have grown up and been able to acquire the rights to create comics with these characters. And so, of course, when this web series was announced a couple of years ago, I was very excited because I've always wanted to see Valiant Comics in some kind of video format, preferably a movie. Those have been pushed back. They've been written, rewritten, gone to different companies, canceled, rescheduled. Now we're supposedly getting a Bloodshot movie with Vin Diesel. I think that starts production this summer. So that's pretty exciting. I'm definitely going to be going to see that. But I want to talk about this web series. The production company is Bat in the Sun, which does the superhero beatdown videos on YouTube. I believe that's Jason David Frank's production company, who used to be in the Power Rangers and still makes a living of his career as a Power Ranger. I watched the first episode, and I was a little disappointed. And by now, of course, I've watched the second and the third, and I do believe that they get a little better with each episode. In fact, the episode that came out today had me a little more excited than the first two. This third episode had an awesome fight scene between Ninjak and Exo Manowar. And I think as of right now, the actor that's playing Exo Manowar is, at least aside from Michael Rowe, who plays Ninjak, the best actor of the bunch, at least in this web series. Not including other paid projects. But at least in this web series, I think he does have the best acting chops. And of course, I didn't expect a whole lot from this Ninjak web series because it is a web series. So I was expecting something very low budget, not a lot of special effects. And for that, I will say that the series does a pretty decent job at bringing the Valiant characters to some kind of screen. I guess a computer screen or a phone screen. Because this thing is being released for free. It's on comicbook.com, so there must have been some kind of deal made with comicbook.com, because it's not even on Bat and the Sun's YouTube company. Which I feel is kind of a mistake, because Bat and the Sun has a very large following with their superhero beatdown videos. And I think those are actually really fun. And where the Valiant versus the Ninjak, or Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe series excels, I think, is definitely the fighting choreography. So props to those guys for that, because the fight scenes in this thing are actually really quite good. I really quite enjoyed them. The problem overall is that the story itself is not very good, and the acting leaves a lot to be desired. I think the main problem that I have with this web series is that it's been so long in the making that by now I've kind of lost a lot of the emotion that I originally had, a lot of the excitement that I originally had in watching this. And I think that's true for a lot of people. Now, I did go and see what people were talking about on this this web series, in particular Valiant fans. And it does seem that a lot of the Valiant fans are very excited for it, really enjoying it. Now, I do know there's a few that are not, but overall, the feeling seems pretty positive. And I had to think to myself, why is it that I'm not really that excited for it? Why did I not think it's very good? Now, I understand the point of this thing. The point of the Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe is to get new readers to come on board to the Valiant Universe to check the characters out. Be like, okay, that looks cool. I'm going to go see what the book's about. The problem with that rationale is, as we have seen through all the other gazillion comic book movies and TV shows that are being made, none of that ever translates into sales. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. There are people who will see these shows or movies and be like, okay, that's super awesome. Let me go and find a comic shop and pick up a book. But 99.9% of the audiences that watch these things don't care to buy a comic because comic books are not a format that they enjoy. Now, there are some exceptions, and I think Walking Dead is the most prevalent one, where Walking Dead still sells gangbusters because the TV show, even though the quality has gone down severely over the years, a lot of people picked up that book because they enjoy the TV show. And I don't know what it is that Kirkman captured in The Walking Dead that gave people the impetus to go out and buy comics, but it worked. But it hasn't worked for anything else. Now, Marvel movies are doing $500 million, $750 million, $1 billion plus with Black Panther at the box office, and yet you don't see these Marvel books doing 100,000, 200,000, 500,000 copies. They're selling just like normal, whether a movie comes out or not. Now, generally, the sales bumps that the books get are the companies will decide to do some kind of tie-in thing or a relaunch of a series in order to coincide with these movies. But that's just a first issue bump, and the first issue bumps never last. You've been reading comics for more than 5 minutes, you know that. Number one issues usually sell at least twice or three times what the second issue will sell. And the second issue will sell probably twice as much as the third. And then after that, you start leveling off in the number of people that are buying the book, because those people are the people that actually want to read the book. Now, in terms of sales, I think Valiant has been doing pretty well for themselves lately. There was a time where there was quite a slump where the majority of the books that they were putting out were only doing, I don't know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 copies. And it seems now, my assumption is through the pre-orders bundles that they're doing comics, that they are selling quite a bit more. And in fact, even though they only have 3 or 4 series coming out at the moment, generally those books do roughly 10,000 copies. Which is pretty good, because a lot of these series have been gone for a bit. You know, Exo Manowar, even though it's at 12 plus, it still does about 10,000. And in the previous series, when they were going that far in, they were doing quite a bit lower. Even X of Manowar itself, by the time the series ended, it was only doing like 7,000-8,000 copies. When the first issue premiered at like 65,000, I think, or 66,000. That's quite a bit of a steep drop. So when people say, hey, don't crap on this thing, this is a project made to entice new readers to come and join Valiant and pick up the comics, I think it's pretty much a flawed argument, because that's never the case. It hasn't been the case with anything else, and I don't think that this web series, in particular because of its budget, will change that in any way. I did see a comment about, you know, people that are criticizing this thing are trolls. This is basically a fan film made on what is equivalent to a daily budget for a Hollywood movie. And I tried to do some math, and it kind of coincided with the number that I had heard this thing cost. And it's roughly between $1 million and $2 million. Okay? So if we take an average Hollywood movie costing with marketing costs on top of production, roughly $100 million to make, then that roughly translates to $1.5 million to $2 million. And that's kind of the number that I had heard when this thing was being put into production, was that it was roughly $1 million, $1.5 million. Now, I think to call somebody a troll because they're expecting more out of this thing because it only cost $1 million, and they're comparing it to movies, and movies are fantastic because they're on $100 million budget, is kind of flawed logic. And even if we take that into a smaller scale, into TV, then it's still flawed logic. Because the majority of TV shows are costing at least, if not more than that, per episode. And this is roughly at an hour, let's say an hour and 10 minute running time, about the length of a weekly TV show. So I try to find a few different shows to try to compare this to see, well, okay, maybe it is an issue of the budget. So what can I compare it to? And initially I thought, well, I'll do something like an average show, which even though I really enjoyed the season, I think for the most part, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been very average. And in many cases, it's costing $6, $7, $8 million to do an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of the special effects. So I said, well, that's a little high. Let me try something else. So I went and looked at the CW shows. And as it turns out, Flash and Arrow cost roughly $2 million per episode. Now I would say that's a little more in line with what we would expect this Ninjak series to cost. And roughly, it's the same kind of premise, right? The superhero show, there's somewhat of a big cast. There are recurring characters. You got a story, you got special effects, you got a lot going on. And so I figured that was a pretty good comparison. But even then, if we're trying to get into a lower budget, I wanted to find something that was really high production quality that was made for roughly $1 million. And the TV show that I found that is a science fiction show with a lot of special effects, with a lot of set design, with a lot of costume design, was one of my favorite shows of all time, Stargate SG-1, which, I mean, I didn't adjust for inflation, but it was costing roughly $1 million per episode. So it seems to me that saying that, hey, not liking this because it's basically a fan film and the budget's low, is also a very flawed argument. Because it's not a fan film, this is made by a production company, and sure, it's not a big production company, but maybe if the intent of this whole thing was to get people excited to buy some Valiant comics, then why not just make a bunch of superhero beatdown shows where you can do the budget for much less and you get people excited because the fight scenes are freaking awesome. Because the fight scenes in Ninjak Versus are actually really pretty good considering the budget. And that's the part that has me most excited when I watch it. I mean, I've always wanted an Exo Manowar movie or TV show, preferably a movie, but I always thought it would be way too much money to produce that kind of thing. And I'm talking like $200, $300, $400 million to make an Exo movie and to do it right. So seeing Exo Manowar in, you know, really show up in the third episode of this thing had me very excited, and it was really well done. But the rest of it, not so much. And the story isn't engrossing me. Now, if this were, let's say, Martin Ferretti Productions, where I went out and got together with a bunch of my friends, and we all cosplayed as Ninjak and Bloodshot and whoever else, that I would consider a fan film. This is not a fan film. Fan films don't have million-plus-dollar budgets. Another thing I saw was somebody said, tell him to watch a Marvel movie, one of the first Marvel movies, like Nick Fury or Doctor Strange. These were way back in the day. Nick Fury is a terrible movie, garbage movie. It's David Hasselhoff from Baywatch, if you are old enough to remember that. Terrible movie. I enjoyed it when it came out, but it wasn't good. And we've had other shows and, you know, movies made over the years from these characters that weren't very good. Some that never saw the light of day, like the Fantastic Four film. But to compare those two things doesn't make sense to me either. Now, I understand what the point is. The point is, these movies were made by big production companies with a large budget, and they were garbage. That I understand. But here's the point. Those movies were being made in the 70s and the 80s. And we are now in 2018, and say what you will about Marvel movies, Marvel has really changed the game for comic book movies. And not just Marvel, other companies as well. I mean, there's plenty of non-Marvel comic movies, right? Some that you may not even know that were comic book movies, like Red. Now, I've read Red. I think that was Warren Ellis. So the thing is, to compare those two things, it makes no sense to me. Because, like I said, we're in 2018. And expectations for any comic book related project are high, regardless of what you would consider a quote-unquote fan film, which I say is kind of a low blow, because I'm pretty sure, regardless of whatever amount of money Bat and the Sun got paid to create this thing, I don't think they would appreciate being called a fan film. And of course, if those movies are being made 40 years ago, we do expect more out of stuff being made now. The fact that this is the first try for Valiant to create something on media outside of comic books is completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. Dinesh and the whole crew that were there were very savvy business people. And to think that it's okay to have a low quality budget thing like this makes no sense to me. Now, part of me wants to think that maybe these people are defending Dinesh and crew because these were passion projects for them. And if that's the case, then I totally get it. In that case, I'm with you. But that needs to be phrased differently. What I'm seeing out of this whole Ninjak versus Valiant Universe thing is Valiant fans being Valiant fans. And that's one thing that I really dislike. Because I've always said Valiant fans are a special breed of people. And I'm one of those people. I still buy every single book, regardless of what I think about the politics of this whole acquisition deal that's happening. But Valiant fans are very special kind of people. Valiant fans are very passionate about the projects, about the comics, about the creators. They create tight groups of people, tight bonds that last over the years. Even when Valiant wasn't putting out books, there was still a community online of people talking about Valiant comics every single day. And I get that. But trying to reason with people not enjoying this thing by saying, hey, you're just being a troll. People put a lot of passion and blood and sweat and tears into making this thing. Okay, I get it. I don't think, from the comments that I've seen, I don't think anyone's demeaning the fact that there was a lot of work put into this. But what is being said is that it could have been better. And I think as Valiant fans, we deserve better. And I don't know what the expectations are. And part of it could be that has been delayed for so long. Now, part of me wants to say that if this had come out 2 years ago when it was supposed to be coming out, that I would have been 100 times more excited than I am today. And I think that's true. Because I don't want to settle for mediocrity. I want properties that I love to get the treatment that they deserve. And I don't feel like Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe is that. In fact, I would go as far as to say that DMG should probably take this whole thing off the internet. I think it's going to wrap this episode up. Thanks for listening. You can find me at Geekvine. You can email comictalktoday@gmail.com. I'll catch you tomorrow with a brand new Comic Predictor. Have a good night.